You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Episode 210, Tips to Live Zero Waste Frugally.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And today we are talking about zero waste living, why it's frugal, and how to do it maybe even more frugally than what you may see on the internet.
This is a new topic for me in some regard. I'm aware that it exists. I've heard about zero waste, generally the extreme version where someone keeps all of their waste in a mason jar. And so I'm just like, oh, well, that's not realistic for me. So I'm just going to ignore that movement. But seeing more and more how this actually can be woven into our frugal, minimalist, simple lifestyle and how it can benefit us, our finances, our environment, our relationships, and just being a whole lot more aware of my consumption and my waste. And I'm excited to have this conversation because it's definitely been on my mind a lot recently.
Well, yeah. So we've been in our financial freedom mentorship. April has been a zero waste challenge for us. We had an interview on Earth Day. So originally we wanted to do this episode on Earth Day, but we don't like change. So we didn't. So we're doing it a little late, but we have been reading Zero Waste Home and doing this zero waste challenge. And it's something that it's probably the challenge I've been most excited for because it is the one I had to learn and change the most for. So we're really excited to share what we've been learning with you and just kind of demystify what going zero waste has to be, especially the startup, because that is what gets most people is starting the zero waste lifestyle, because it does have some startup costs, but not actually as many as you would think. So let's dive in, shall we, Jill?
Let's do it.
Yes. First, this episode is brought to you by Mexico. When this episode releases, I will be in Mexico. Hopefully sitting by a pool with a drink in my hand. Am I going with my family? No. Am I going with my husband? No. Am I going with Jill? I wish, but no. It's going to be me and my other lady friends, the two other friends that I have besides Jill, and some other personal finance nerds, because it is actually a work retreat that just happens to be in Mexico. And you know why I'm able to be in Mexico right now? Because I saved for it. And you can save for a trip to Mexico without your family, too, by starting a sinking fund, preferably in a high-yield savings account. We like Axos Bank for its 0.61% APY and no fees. So if you want to leave your family on vacation, open a sinking fund. If you open one at Axos at frugalfriendspodcast.com/AXOS, every account open supports the show at no cost to you.
And if you're also a human being who enjoys being with their family and wants to travel, it's still a good idea to save for your family vacations. Wow.
Well, that's not
to be Jen.
What this episode's brought to you by, okay?
Leaving
this is,
this all
one's
of
brought
us.
To you by Mexico. Without that's I sorry I apologize to our sponsor. It's Mexico without your family. That's the real sponsor of the show. Not Mexico with your family. Mexico
oh,
without them.
I hope we don't lose any fans.
I think we'll gain them.
Our frugal we'll friends right understand. Sometimes yeah. It's nice to be away from your children.
Exactly. So if you are interested in sustainability and its intersection with frugality, because we do believe that it is an integral part, not just being a good steward of your financial resources, but being a good steward of your natural resources, we do have some other episodes you can check out. Episode 48, Why Frugal is the New Green. Episode 157, we go a little deeper into eco-friendly frugality. And then episode 173, everyone needs to cue this one up to play after this. We interviewed author Ron Gonin, who is a pioneer in the recycling world, on the financial and environmental benefit of a circular economy. That was not one of our most popular episodes. It is one of my favorite episodes. And I just hope everyone will go in and hit play next on episode 173. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah. Which I think just goes to show that we as a collective society are not talking about this that much. And mm-hmm. It also takes a lot for us to engage in something that we can't see the immediate benefit to ourselves on. It is much more easy to tackle the micro level than the macro level. But I think in this conversation, it's the pairing of the two. How the macro level can impact the micro level, how we in our homes, as we aim at zero waste, can benefit us and also our larger society and context and environment.
Absolutely. So let's get into our first article. And this is straight out of the book that we've been reading for book club in the membership. And if you want to check out the membership, you can check it out at frugalfriendspodcast.com/FFM. Even after April, you'll be able to get access to our zero waste challenge that we did. But so this 5 R's is from the book we were reading called Zero Waste Home. And we've both like really enjoyed that book. What have you thought, Jill?
It's really excellent. I think like what you said, Jen, this has been probably the most challenging challenge that we have done yet, in that I really had to shift a lot and it raised a lot of curiosity, a lot of problem solving, a lot of shifting, whereas a lot of our other challenges are so fruitful, beneficial, helpful. I love them. This, for me particularly, raised some things that I'd never thought about before, where, you know, a no spend challenge is like, great, there's going to be some challenging parts to it, but it didn't cause me to actually think about the way that I live so much as this challenge has. That's just me personally. So I really liked it because I think she answered a lot of questions, both in this article as well as in her book, for what to do with, you know, the various waste that we might encounter or how we consume and actually make this a realistic lifestyle and the benefits of it. Some of the benefits that I didn't even think about previously. Mm-hmm. So yes, I really enjoyed it. So you could tell I'm excited to talk about it.
Yes. So the website is unsustainablemagazine.com and the book is Zero Waste Home by Bea Johnson. So you've heard of the 3 R's. But she takes a little bit further with 5 R's. So let's get into the first R, which is refuse. So say no to what you don't need. And it's essentially, she's saying, learn how to say no and mean it. And I think if you are a people pleaser or somebody who loves free stuff, which should hit 100% of our listeners on either one of those, this is going to be a really hard one. But she says it's her favorite R because you have to be intentional with everything that comes into your home and intentional about the environmental impact of your actions. So I think this is one of those boundaries things where frugality is almost a practice in creating boundaries between your family, between your friends, and even the greater world at large. And that's what I really like about this one. This one was very challenging for me right off the bat. So good.
Yeah,
start.
It's amazing. One of those things that she pointed out that I never really thought about is how many things people are trying to give us on a regular basis. Even in a daily, she gave a really simple daily life example of you wake up, you open your door, and there's a flyer for lawn service hanging on the door. So you pull that off. Then, you know, you go to the grocery store and someone's handing you a receipt. Then you go for food and people are handing you straws and takeout stuff that ends up in the trash. Mm-hmm. And then you come home and your mailbox is full of junk mail. And there's just like, there's so much coming into our life on a daily basis. And this is the first step. And I like how she really describes that it does go in order. So Jen and I are volleying back and forth on what the five R's are, but you do have to start here with refusing and then moving into the rest of the four mm-hmm. R's. And then it's kind of like cyclical. But this refusing is really where it starts, is the ability to say no. And of course, that can even include refusing things that people are wanting to give you. That we talk about this a lot, refusing gifts, refusing extra things, which is uncomfortable. But as we train ourselves, we can get better at it. One tip that Bea gives in her book is just simple answers, not needing to give a long dialogue explanation or feeling like you need to really defend yourself, but just practicing the simple things. She, one of her go-tos is, I don't have a trash can. I would be lying if I said that. She's not lying. But, you know, that was just like a simple thing. Or, you know, we are really simple in our household. We don't have a place for this. Whatever it is, but just a simple explanation. So there's so much more to be said on that, but we're going to move on to the second R, which is reduce. And this is partially that learning to let go. Once we've refused, we also then want to move into reducing how much we have, how much we take in is both in that reduction process. This one's quite interesting to me because this is a clearing out. Like, to me, this is a wasting, but I think with this R, we're being really specific about if there's things we don't want in our home, we're not simply sending them to the landfill. We're going to find another home for them. So this is if you've got extra things in your pantry or your closet or your toy bin that you're not utilizing, we are giving it away. So I see this reduce as pairing with minimalism, where mm-hmm. we kind of go through this process, what don't we need? But then I think the idea with reduction is we then don't bring in more. So it's almost like there's this big process that we go through, but then after that, we learn what we actually need, what we actually utilize. So we're not bringing in more. So it makes the refusal even easier as we move forward.
Yeah. And I think this right here is like frugality in a nutshell. Like, this one R, like, reduce your consumption, reduce your spending. Don't eliminate. We're not eliminating. We're reducing down to what's best for us, what's best for the environment, and finding the balance within that. And so this has always been my true north when figuring out what's frugal and what's not, is like, not what can I get the best deal on? Do I get it for free? Like, stuff like that. But is it a reduction of everything? All of the clutter and the noise that the world continuously brings into my life, does it somehow reduce that? Like, and I know that's kind of like bigger picture than just zero waste, but I just have always been obsessed with like the three R's. And so to find out that the book was like kind of based around five R's, I was like, okay, I didn't know this when I started reading. But yeah, so I really believe that, and we've said it before, you can't buy your way to greed. And so the first one is super challenging, like refusing things that are free, I have a hard time with. And I'm definitely going to give this episode to Travis because he has an even harder time with that. But this one I love and embrace so wholeheartedly. But yeah, so like this one is, I have nothing more to say. This is great. But it also says like the life you had before you were refusing, all the things you accumulated, those are things you're going to have to reduce. So like all of the tiny little shampoo and body wash bottles that you get from the hotels or the Airbnbs, those have to go. And I have quite a few of them, but use them first. That's where I like the zero waste, like is kind of hard for me because and the minimalism too. Like I have a junk drawer because I'm not just going to get rid of things that I will use. Like I know I will use body wash and shampoo. I just haven't yet. So that's why there's this like, it's not either or. It's just finding the synergy of all of it.
Well, there is a tough tension because I think that some zero wasters, if I can put a title to it, some zero wasters will go the direction of just keeping everything to keep it out of a landfill. That can be a picture in our mind of people who go zero waste. At one end of the spectrum is we utilize everything. If it's a paper plate, we're not throwing it away. We're going to somehow figure out how to wash and dry that paper plate and keep using it. And we're going to have containers everywhere, cluttering everything. And so I think what we're advocating for and this article's advocating for is the pairing of zero waste with a minimalist lifestyle. So you have less, you're bringing less into the home. You're not just maintaining your lifestyle and yet not throwing anything away, because that's what moves towards hoarding. And that's not a lifestyle that we want to advocate for, just for mental and emotional and physical health. Mm-hmm. So there is a tension there, because as you begin this, there is going to be certainly a startup cost and a waste startup, if that's a word. Like there is going to be a lot that you're getting rid of in this process. But then the hope is that that's not the lifestyle that you keep living, of bringing in a ton of stuff that just needs to find its way to the landfill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's move on from refuse and reduce to reuse. And this is maybe the one that I have the second hardest time with. I do love reusable water bottles, reusable cloth napkins. There are some things that I do use a lot of reusables. And then there's just some that I, like, I am not the person that has the cabinets full of old glass jars from foods. And that's kind of the minimalist in me, because I have what I have and I will recycle the rest. But so I was challenged in that instead of just getting single use plastic, to get more things that come in glass, because glass is much easier to recycle than plastics, because not all plastics are recyclable. I keep learning that. Like, and not one plastic that's recyclable here isn't recyclable there, but the glass is. And so that was one thing with the reuse that I have been inspired to do. But there are a few other things. So like she gives some examples. So paper tissues can be replaced with handkerchiefs. You can get straight edge razors instead of disposable razors, cotton cloths instead of dish sponges, loose tea instead of tea bags. I actually did not buy coffee filters for my coffee maker. I just reused a reusable. It already had a reusable filter in there. I just kept a filter on it because I didn't like the residue at the bottom. And then I was like, Jen, you're a grown up. Get over it. So there have been some things that I've been challenged to like do more of. And I think that's great. We do things in steps and stages, and we continually take in knowledge and surround ourselves with people that challenge us to just be a little bit better every year.
Yeah, I love this list. This list is an excellent place to start. And there's so many things that I see on here that I can shift in my own lifestyle.
What's one thing? that you're going to shift.
Okay. That I will shift?
Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot, Jill.
I know. Yeah, I'm looking at it. So the paper and plastic bags, I definitely bring my own bags to like Aldi or Trader Joe's because they force you to do that. But let's say I shop at Walmart or anywhere else, I don't. And I just didn't ever think about it. Like I think, oh, well, they have bags, but here's a store that they don't have bags. So done. Now, anytime I go into any store, I have my reusable bags in my car. Like they're already there for those other grocery stores. I'm going to start utilizing that. Now, here's my one barrier, because we're going on a side tangent now, apparently, is that I will use those bags, the plastic ones from Walmart or Home Depot, for trash bags in my bathroom. But then that's what brings up that whole other issue of what if I stop making as much trash? But I think it's not I'm going to make trash. I'm not going to be the person who ends up with their annual trash in a mason jar. But then I would have to figure out an alternative trash bag for my bathroom.
Well, I think also there's always going to be people trying to get rid of their plastic bags. So if you are ever in a pinch where you need plastic bags, like grocery bags for your bathroom, you can just go on the Buy Nothing group and say, I'll take these off your hands. Or you go to the grocery store and they have recycling bins for those bags because they're not recyclable in regular recycling bins. Yeah. And you just stick your hand in there and pull some out.
And I'm at least reusing it, giving the life of the thing a little bit longer, more uses, which I think is also a part of that reuse. Sometimes it does end up getting thrown out, but how much more life can we get out of any kind of product also helps.
Yeah. And you, Jill, you're the one that like taught me about like always think of the third option. There's always a third option. There's the yes and the no, and those are usually very obvious. But if you sit down and just think about it a little bit longer, there's always a third option. And sometimes there's, you know, 4 or 8 options, but you just have to think about it a little long. And that's the same with what we say about frugality. It's not inconvenient. It's just not the most convenient. You just sit down, think about it for a few minutes or a few days and find what the third option is.
I think that is what's so challenging about this, but I like it. I enjoy the creativity, the problem solving, the curiosity that this challenge has created of, okay, I could do this. Then what's the ripple effect of that? How can I solve for that? What might else need to change and shift? Where could I make more shifts? And it's been this like really rich challenge.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the fourth R. The fourth R is recycle. And we only get to the fourth R once we've made it through the other three. So recycling is for the things that we can't refuse, reduce, or reuse. And I love how Bea highlights this. She shares how often people are aware of her zero waste lifestyle and they're like, oh yeah, me too. I recycle everything. And she's like, that's totally not it. I mean, like she's excited for them with like where they're at in their process and journey, but we don't want to stop there. It's not just, oh great, we recycle, because there's so much to be said about the recycling industry and how much has not been solved for, how unaware we are as a society of how to recycle well. There's a lack of businesses, corporations, companies who are utilizing recycled material. There's a lack of consumers buying recycled material. Like once it has been recycled into something new, we have a problem with not actually purchasing those recycled items. We're still buying the single-use items. So it's not as if we can just put our recycling out by the road and be like, pat ourselves on the back, done deal, I did my due diligence. No, there's so much more that goes into it, which is really disheartening for me because I was in that camp of, yeah, I recycle. I'm doing such a good thing. And then there's this whole myth around recycling. So we only do this once we've exhausted the first three R's. And then we need to do our due diligence in doing it well. What can be recycled? Make sure our recyclables are cleaned out, making sure that we're not recycling a ton of stuff. Because again, we don't have a system that can actually support the way that we're doing recycling right now.
Yeah. And if you are not recycling and this is where you need to start, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You know, whatever you have in your refrigerator right now that you can recycle when you're done using it, start with that. And then start to refuse and reduce and reuse. Whatever you can start with today is good enough. But yeah, there are so many people that just sit on that and be like, oh, I did the one thing. I did eco-sustainability. And it's really, recycling is much more confusing. It actually makes me angry every time I go to recycle something because I'm like, I either have to do a lot to get it to be recyclable, or I just don't. And I just put it in and I'm like, I don't really know. And then I end up, I don't want to contaminate the recycling, so I throw it away. Like,
uncertainty,
so frustrating.
Is a common experience, yeah, for me when I recycle. Like, yeah, anytime I go to my recycling bin, it is paired with a feeling of uncertainty. And that's not, yeah, the greatest.
Right. Which is why I think reducing is, again, the key. Like, reduce what you buy and you reduce what you recycle. And if you can rethink, like when I'm now purchasing, instead of, my next move is like, so I switched to like mayonnaise only in glass jars. And so now I'm just going to move my condiments. Like when I rebuy, I'm going to try to do everything in glass because I know glass, like clear glass, definitely recyclable. And just things that I don't have to be so confused about. Like,
but the paper around the glass might not be. I think true recycling is you have to pull it off. You've got to clean it really well, get the glue, yeah, as much as possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I can do that enough. But yeah. So recycling is not what we want to rest on. It's definitely the reducing and reusing as much as possible. And that takes us to our last R, which I like and Jill very much likes, but it's rot. And that is composting.
Rot it.
Yeah. So Jill actually likes it because she does use the compost. It just makes me feel better about not wasting. I don't do anything with the compost, but it is a way to use your food scraps. And I actually learned you can use a lot more in compost, depending on the type of compost you have. You can use a lot more, put a lot more in there than I thought you could.
Yes.
Drier lint. It's actually very forgiving. Yeah.
Drier lint.
Dust.
Cardboard.
Dust mites.
Yeah. I had
like,
no idea
she's
until
even
I
putting,
started
like,
doing it.
Food, like animal waste. I guess she has like a special compost. I don't know if it's special, but yeah, she is not a vegan by any means. Like, so she puts her animal waste, not her animal, like pet waste.
Right.
Not that.
Yeah.
She said like even there is like a type you could. Yeah. So it's vast.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to learn more about that. For me, I've got to, because I know that if you put animal waste into like food scraps into your compost, that's when you can get pests. So there definitely is a way to go about that in a way where you wouldn't have rats around your garden. That's not my goal.
And if you are not a gardener, if you have a black thumb, then you can create compost and maybe trade it with other people who do have it for their fresh veggies that they have, like when stuff, whatever's in season that they're trying to get rid of. So that's an option if you do not want to grow your own food. That can be a way to kind of use the compost and still get some of the benefits of people who do know how to garden and grow things.
Yeah.
We've been there, done that with overpriced wireless providers and their fine print contracts. But with Mint Mobile, their wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's it. No catch.
Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
So you can say bye-bye to that overpriced phone plan you've been using and bring your own phone, your same number, and all your contacts with you right on over to any Mint Mobile plan.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/frugal. That's mintmobile.com/frugal. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/frugal. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial. That's a great list. We encourage you to try it. But we also want to move into talking about how we can pair frugal tips with zero waste.
So we are talking about frugal zero waste. So this next article we're getting into is 7 easy frugal tips that are also sustainable. So this is from rainbowvegansrock.com. I very much like that URL.
Rainbow Vegans Rock. Here we go. Mm-hmm. So the first tip on here is to buy secondhand. And you all know this. This list, if you've been listening to Frugal Friends for a long time, nothing on this list is going to be new to you. But we're looking at it from the perspective of sustainability and zero waste, or at least reducing waste. I mean, even Bea in her book describes that zero waste is nearly impossible in the culture that we live in. But we're aiming at it. It's something to aim at. And so when we buy secondhand, this continues to keep things out of the landfill. It allows us to reuse and almost kind of recycle or upcycle things. Of course, we still want to be aiming at reduction in this process. We don't want to go buy secondhand just because it's a deal and be bringing more things into our house that we may not need and might find its way to the trash can quicker. But when we do need something, this is the first place we should be going to, whether it's an actual physical thrift store, or it's Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or eBay. These are the spots that we should be going to find the items that we need, again, to take from somebody else who's not going to be using it anymore, to put that thing to use, to keep them from throwing it away. And this is also a solution for us, not just in buying secondhand, but when we don't need something anymore, these are the places we should be going to be donating or selling.
Yeah. And we went thrifting this weekend, Jill.
We did.
We got some.
Yeah. I was looking for things for our Frugal Friends party. Didn't find what I needed, but I did find. Actually, I found this shirt. I needed more.
Oh, I found this shirt.
I needed another. Look at us. We're so excited to wear our new shirts.
Yeah.
I realize I don't have any like professional short sleeve shirts. It's either like a dress that I wear or a lightweight long sleeve or sleeveless, but I only have one other short sleeve shirt. So I got a second one. So now I have 2 professional short sleeve shirts. So you're either going to see that. This or my black one.
Love that. Yeah. And so I don't particularly love thrifting. Like we went to one thrift store and afterwards I was like exhausted. So typically I do most of my thrifting online. We use ThreadUp. We have a promo code for $10 off ThreadUp at frugalfriendspodcast.com/ThreadUp, no A. And then Poshmark, eBay. I love eBay. Their prices are usually cheaper than Poshmark, and it's the same exact things. They post them at both places. And then this one also says Depop or Facebook Marketplace. So there are plenty of places to get secondhand that are not a thrift store too. The second one on this list is bulk buying. And so when Jill and I were originally talking about this, she thought I meant like Sam's Club, Costco bulk buying. And then I was like, I want glass containers for bulk buying. And she didn't know what I was talking about. But this is like at your health food store where you're filling up your own container of shelf stable like products. And so that's something that I'm going to try and move towards and trying to bring, instead of using the plastic bags they give, trying to bring my own glass containers that are uniform in size. I'm just not here for bringing seven different types of jars and getting them all teared and then going to fill them up. I'm here for simplicity. So I might just start with one, maybe brown rice. I think I'm due for a brown rice refill. So, but yeah, I am very interested to try this and see the price difference. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there, as with some other things like minimalism, eco-friendly, sustainability, zero waste, there is a version of this that could go not super frugal. We can, in anything, mm-hmm. spend a ton of money. Although, if it's within our values and something we really want to aim at, then it can be frugal living. But again, that intentionality with our finances, with our lifestyle. So I think we all have to find what's going to work for us, because going to seven different stores, spending all of the time and energy to make your own laundry detergent, butter, mend clothes, like to do all of the things as if we were living in 1522 might not work for everybody. So there is mm-hmm. definitely a lot of room in here to figure out how does this pair with your version of frugality? And like you said, Jen, just doing a little bit better each day towards the goals that we have stated. I will say this article does highlight bulk buying in your the big box stores like your Costco or your yeah. Sam's Club. Now, we've also—
Which is still better.
I guess it reduces waste in the sense that you're not throwing out five tiny bottles. You're throwing out mm-hmm. one slightly larger bottle, and you're probably reducing the waste, I don't know, I would guess by 20 to 30%. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not great at numbers, but that'd be my guess. But then you've also got the alternative where sometimes that isn't minimal, and it might not be financially sustainable for us to be spending a ton of money on these like larger bulk items. So that's one of those that can kind of go either way, and we'd have to determine what will we buy bulk, how will we buy bulk. Is it worth it to us to be going to all these different stores to do this? So yeah, there's the bulk buying is one that I'm curious about. I'm a little bit on mm-hmm. the fence with.
Because yeah, it does reduce the cost per ounce, but you have to be selective. So instead of getting everything bulk, you choose maybe three things. We choose three things that we buy in bulk. We go to one store. We go to the store that has all of them, or we choose the store that's closest to them, and whatever they have, that's what dictates our bulk, because driving around all over also has an environmental impact and it has a time impact, and we're not about that either. So sometimes you do have to let your location and what's available to you dictate what you keep in bulk, and you don't need to get everything in bulk. So like, I'm just going to start with brown rice because I use brown rice every week. And I love that Bea said that she keeps a jar on a rotation of like unique like grains or whatever she wants to try. So she doesn't have like 20 containers with all these different bulk things, which can be expensive. She has her set, and then she has one jar or one container that if there's something interesting that she wants to try, she'll fill it up, and she has to use all of that before she can get something else that she wants to try. So I actually love that too.
Yes, agreed. All right, this next one, which I am all for, where we compare frugality with zero waste, is mending our things. So if something is broken or torn or ripped, we look at mending and fixing. Mending to me kind of seems very fabric clothing specific. I would take it a step further and just say fixing things. If something gets broken, rather than throwing it away, tossing it to the side, putting it in a junk drawer, how can we make this thing useful again, work again, serve its purpose again? And picking up a new skill set in this regard. I don't think we have to all become seamstresses, but if there's a hole in our clothing, could we mend it before we go out and buy new and just throw it away? So I'm all about sewing on buttons, patching up our clothes, fixing the things that are broken, which is going to also mean that we buy quality things that's worth fixing, that's going to last mm-hmm. us a long time. That's a whole other part of this. When we do buy,
yeah.
that it's quality. And then we make sure we're going to use it.
Can be fixed. Yeah. And some things are created to not be able to be fixed. Mm-hmm. They're just created cheaply. So that is something we also have to be intentional about buying.
Like the new Triple.
The author.
Sorry.
Yeah. The author of this article. Did you hear my story about my Nutribullet? Is that what you were bringing up, Jill?
Everyone has a story about a Nutribullet not working and throwing it out and getting a new one. I went through two or three. I've got other friends who...
Oh, my gosh.
Nutribullet will never sponsor us because I think that they make crap products. At least the one. Oh, the bullet.
I'm
the Nutribullet.
So glad I'm not the only one.
The rubber, melts away and it smells, and there's no... Like, how are you going to fix the rubber that melts away?
You can't. I tried. Yep. Wow. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Listen, if you work for Nutribullet, okay, just let them know. But this author of this article talks about trying to return a dehumidifier that didn't work and to the manufacturer instead. And her husband was like, are you returning that to be fixed? And she didn't even realize that that's what she would be doing. She just thought she was going to get a new dehumidifier. And she's like, well, I could just try to repair it myself. And I don't necessarily recommend trying to repair something that might be like defunct or just a lemon, but definitely anything that maybe could do a repair. Just try and YouTube it. We had a listener who she was listening to us, and then she said that her oven went out or something. And she's like, you know what? I'm just going to watch YouTube, or maybe it was her husband or something, I don't remember, but they watched YouTube, and it ended up being like a $15-$30 fix.
Wow.
To fix. And it's not something like, if you realize that you're in over your head once you watch the YouTube video, go get it fixed.
Yeah.
But if you don't try, you'll never know if it's the easy fix or the hard fix.
Yeah. I will say we've also gotten really great deals on things that we've been willing to fix that other people are getting rid of. So for instance, mm-hmm. we've been wanting this really high-end in-wall microwave oven combination for the kitchen that we're renovating at our house. It's very expensive. It's like $4,000 to $5,000 new. And we're like, we're never doing that. Well, one popped up on Facebook Marketplace, broken, for a fraction of that cost. And we snagged it, and Eric is fixing it. And we're going to keep that out of the landfill, because the manufacturer eventually told this person, like, we're just replacing it. So do what you want with it. Like, meaning just like go ahead and throw it out, this massive appliance. And so good on them that they decided not to just throw it away and find a new home for it. And then if you do have some of those problem solving ability to fix things, now we'll be able to give it a new life. We got a great deal and it's going to make our kitchen look amazing. So win, 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 when you mend and fix.
Yeah. And, or if you're not handy like that and you have a friend that is, you can see if they will like do it for money. Some people like to just toy around with those things or be helpful and be like, hey, like I have this, if I got this for free or whatever, would you fix it? I'll pay you. And that could be a thing too. Mm-hmm. So many options. There's always a third option.
So many.
Yes. The next one is probably one of our favorites, if not our ultimate favorite. It is mindful purchases. And that's kind of what we're all about. Intentional spending, conscious consumerism, mindful purchases, whatever you want to call it. But realizing what your values are and then making sure all of your spending, not just your discretionary, but like your mandatory, quote unquote, spending as well, is aligned with those values. And I think the hardest part in that equation isn't making the mindful purchases. It's actually figuring out what your core values are, because our core values are so often influenced by media, friends, family, coworkers, jobs, whatever. It's very hard to figure out, what do I actually want to have in my life? What do I want to live in? What do I want to acquire, have, not have? It's hard to figure that out. And that's what you need to do in order to be able to make mindful purchases. And that, on the flip side, with also being aware of the impact behind the things you are consuming. So the journey that it took to get wherever you are. So this is
mindful purchases is not just a tip on some article. It is the foundation of frugality. I think that is, when someone asks us to define frugality, it is some version of mindful spending than being intentional with your resources. That's it. So done.
Yeah, if my mic was not on a stand, I'd drop it right now.
Yeah, well, you could throw it on the ground if you want, just to prove your point.
No, I love my mic. I'll just leave it here.
So the article also mentions, as a tip in this space, free activities. It might seem at first like it doesn't fit, but as we engage in free activities, generally we're not engaging in purchasing things, collecting things, gathering things. And so there can be a pairing of engaging in fun, free things that mean zero waste. So when we enjoy time on the weekend with friends, with family, in things that are free, and we also are able to implement the refuse, reduce, reuse mentality, then this is a helpful kind of frugal, zero waste pairing.
Mm-hmm. And the last one on this list, reusing containers. So definitely, if you want to do this, get your glass jars or look at your thrift stores. I am still in the market for some more glass containers that look aesthetically pleasing. I have open shelving and I care about that stuff. There are some pretty good looking glass containers that food comes in. So be on the lookout for that. And if you have any suggestions, DM us on Instagram and let us know what food we should be consuming to get those cool glass jars.
Yeah, that or, yeah, finding them secondhand. Definitely will not be buying them used. And I like the tips that they give for how we can reuse some containers. One of my go-tos for glass jars is to hold on to some of them. Again, this is where it bumps up against my minimalism. I don't want to have an entire cabinet dedicated to empty glass jars. But if I give flowers as a gift to somebody, or sometimes I'll make like an antipasta or an appetizer of some sort, and it's an easy way to give it to people and not require them to be giving back the container. So I'll kind of keep some things around so that I can gift things to people and not have to purchase containers for it or be putting the pressure on them to get my container back to me.
Absolutely. But you know what? There's never any pressure to give back to the people.
And always does give. Never hardly receives.
This is zero waste for sure.
The Bill of the Week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, Jen and Jill. My name is Amy. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And my Bill of the Week is my dad, William, but known to everyone else as Bill. My dad was a minimalistic, frugal, simple living, non-materialistic person before it was cool. He's content with living a simple life. And so when my brothers and I try to pick his brain for potential birthday or Christmas gifts, his response is usually, I could use a new fish filter for his aquarium. And they cost like $10. So I just want to say cheers to my dad who keeps things simple, but frustrates those of us who want to buy him presents. Because he does not care for material things. Thanks, ladies. Keep up the good work. Love the show.
Oh, Amy Marie, I am in love with your dad, Bill. He sounds like the best.
Bill sounds so great. Bill, thank you for paving the way for your family in this minimalism, contentment, simple living that doesn't require much, but you also just sound like an amazing person with rich relationship with those around you, which I think is what this can lead to. Like, it can be a byproduct. This minimalism, simple living can lead to contentment, which leads to, it can better relationships with people and just time enjoyed together. And how amazing, Amy, to hear how much you enjoy and admire your dad in this. Well done. And thanks, Bill. That. What a great Bill.
If you want to submit your Bill of the Week, visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill to leave us your dad bill, your duck bill, your man bill, any bill.
You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
This is This is the part of the show where our podcast manager, Goldie, asks us a question to get us vulnerable. I no longer make up the questions because Jill feels attacked when I...
like, you know too much.
Typically for... Yeah. So now Goldie does it. And now it's fun because I don't see the question until right before it comes. So this week's question, what are your compromise items? So like not zero waste, but still eco-friendly.
Go for it, Jen. Jill, what is it?
Yeah, you kind of took mine. So can you go first okay. So that I can think of another one?
I don't know if this is eco-friendly, but toilet paper. I can't give that up. That's my no compromise item. I don't know that there's ever going to be a time when I say no to toilet paper. However, hold on. As I'm thinking out loud and that problem-solving creative juices are flowing.
What's the third way, Jill?
The third way is a bidet. Ooh, and it rhymes too.
The third way is the bidet. That's a lot. That's a big transition.
People who have them love them. Way. Those.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Who have a bidet love their third way.
I am squirming thinking about it. What is my compromise? Yeah, no, I'll never give up toilet paper. So this isn't zero waste, I guess, but I have to have a certain hair care product, like shampoo and conditioner. I have heard all of the ideas and the shampoo bars and the all of the apple cider vinegar. I've heard all of the ideas, but if you had my hair, which is very curly and very thin, you would know that I am fighting a battle, and I can't go zero waste.
If I had your hair, I think I'd be 10% happier.
I mean,
but you know what? The gift to me is that I get to look at it.
Yeah. And my son has the same hair, and everyone's always trying to touch it and complimenting it. And I feel complimented by proxy because nobody does that to me.
Such a cutie. I'm an adult,
but yeah. But so I think I do always recycle the plastic containers that they come in. And I think next time I will see if I can buy a larger size than what I currently have. I think those are my alternate. And okay, so also I only shampoo my hair once a week.
There you go.
All the other times I will condition it. And I only condition it maybe like two or three times a week. All the other times I just like wet it because I do work out most mornings. And sometimes I'll just either not wash it or just wet it. So that's a zero waste thing that I do. But I gotta have, I gotta have the right hair care. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and rest assured, this is not the only area where our lives need improvement. There's so many other shifts and changes we can be making. But I think, like we said at the beginning, we'll say at the end, it is about making small adjustments as we go and as we can see the low-hanging fruit of what needs to shift. Like, I got stressed yesterday about the junk mail that's coming. It's like, well, this shouldn't be my first step if I'm also still using paper towels. I shouldn't be hunting down and spending a ton of time making sure the local Catholic church doesn't send me like flyers all the time. It should be, what am I doing in my own personal life currently?
Yeah.
That could be a drastic shift, more drastic than the flyers that come to my door.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got some helpful tips that might help you conserve and steward wisely your natural resources. Thank you for your kind reviews. Like this one, it comes from Brittany7991. It says, "Real discussions, happens to be 5 stars. She says, "I'm so mad. I just found this podcast a few days ago. Wish I would have found it sooner." I thought I was the only person who obsesses with money every day, all day, every purchase, every bill. This episode, Paying Off Debt and Mental Health with Melanie, is amazing. She's so vulnerable and shared her anxiety related around money, OCD, anxiety, and I felt all her thoughts. I appreciate this podcast very much. Thank you, Brittany.
Brittany, I love the aggressive way that you are giving us 5 stars. It's really beautiful.
You are a kindred spirit.
It resonates with me.
Kindred soul.
I'm mad with you that you just found this podcast. We also want to thank our friends who share these episodes on social media. So when you share the latest episode on Instagram, we're adding you. Not kidding. We are adding you to our monthly drawing. So for every 5 tags and reviews we get each month, we do then give away $50 for you to spend in the Frugal Friends shop.
So please keep leaving us reviews wherever you listen to podcasts and sending the screenshots to reviews@frugalfriendspodcast.com. And don't forget to tag us on social.
See you next week.
Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
Okay, Jen. Zero Jill. Waste is blowing my mind, and it's invading my life, and it's probably
it's
a good thing.
Life.
It is, yeah. And I think I had said this a while ago when I lived in a tiny home. It got me so much more connected to my consumption, my waste. I loved that. I did learn a lot through that, and I still have so much to learn. And I don't know if the main thing that's drawing me to this movement is just the challenge of it and the creative problem solving. Like, I do care, but I honestly think that, like, the challenging portion is, like, the majority of what is, like, magnetizing me to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot for a lot of people.
Here's the thing that I am realizing. I think to embrace this lifestyle more, I think it's going to cause me to be 10% less clean.
Explain.
I came to that conclusion yesterday. It might not be like a final conclusion. Well, so I've admitted this before and it still is a problem. I do have paper towels in my home and I do use the paper towels. Because I feel like it keeps my hands cleaner, I'm able to get a better clean on some of the things in my kitchen and my bathroom and then get rid of it. Versus if I'm like cleaning things and I'm using a reusable rag, that either means that I, like, once I use the rag on something that I perceive to be like dirty, it has to immediately go into the washer. That's not super sustainable. Or, like, I have to be okay with it just kind of being more dirty. Just, you know, like, okay, so for instance, you were over the other day and I've got one of those, like, sink clean out things in my kitchen sink and it does collect some debris. I try and scrape off as much as possible, but there's still, like, some food scraps and stuff. And I'm the type of person who will use, like, a quarter of a paper towel to, like, clean, to scrape out what's in there into the trash can. Because it's not always just like the great, it's not just like the food scraps. It's also some of the, like, scum that can start to build up. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, in the past 2 days since you've been over, I'm like, all right, what if I were to try life without doing that? And so I'm just doing it with my hands. I'm just, like, scraping it out with my hands. And it just feels dirtier. It feels like a more gross process. I can get okay with it, but it's just, I think that's my realization. Like, life just has to be, my standards for cleanliness need to, like, decrease by 10% in order for me to engage in this lifestyle.
Yes. What if you used an old toothbrush? We keep an old toothbrush at our sink because sometimes if you don't want to use your nails,
okay,
it just gets into those crevices.
Yeah, okay.
And that is a small thing.
I do have an old toothbrush under the sink for cleaning. That's good. That's good. This is a good. Yeah. We're brainstorming. This is good.
I'm glad we're finding your third way.
Yes.
So.
Well, but then also then I used a rag. I'm like, all right, we're pulling out the rag. The other thing about rags is they're often too thick. So like I also like paper towels for how thin they are and how I can get into crevices easier with how thin it is. I know you're probably going to say use a t-shirt, but I don't, the material of a t-shirt.
That's not what I was going to say, actually.
Okay.
That's too thin. So there are these new, they dry like hard almost. And when you get them wet, they are malleable like a paper towel.
Oh, yeah,
and then you just rinse them off and dry them. And I forget what they're called, but they are like a paper towel like when wet.
Okay. And then maybe I could have, because what I also found was, all right, because I was using a rag, I wiped down the counters and I'm like, oh, there's a spot on the floor I want to get up. So then I use it on the floor. But now I'm like, well, I can't use the rag that I just used on the floor back on the countertop. So now it's ready for the wash. But the third way could be that I have one for my countertops and, like, you know, my more clean spaces, and one for my more dirty stuff, like wiping the lid of the trash can or the floor. Boom. Jen, look at this.
And these reusable like paper towel things can just be rinsed off, maybe with a little bit of soap, and then dried, and it's ready to go again. So you've just washed it like a dish.
Soap is supposed to clean things. So it's like I hand washed it once I...
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I feel energized. I'm going to go not throw things away.
That consultation is free.
Bye.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.